Now, make a promise now in light of that story that we will not go until midnight. I promise. Can I get an amen? Have you ever thought of how much access we have to the Word of God? We've come quite a ways since folks like Luther and Tyndale and Wycliffe paved the way for each of us to have the Word of God in our own languages. But we've also come even farther in having access to the preaching of it. From radios and CDs to podcasts, countless sermons are available to you right here, right now, online. But don't rush to the door to leave and listen to those. We're here to hear God's Word. In 10 or 15 minutes after I preach, Corey will put this online for others to hear. We have an immense access to the preaching and the reading of God's Word. See, we've never had more access to the Word of God than we do now, yet never been so biblically illiterate. Very few of us move from what we read and hear to actually listening to God's Word and doing what God's Word says. And that's heartbreaking. For so many of us take the Word for granted, while our brothers and sisters across the world who have less access to the Word than us hunger for more and more and can't get enough of that Word and have absolute joy when they receive it in their language for the first time. Heartbreaking, sad, but not really surprising, it seems. For James seems to write here as if he has 2016 in mind with American Christianity. You see, he's shifted now from the testing of our faith and the storms on struggling with the trials and temptations of our life to now hearing and doing the Word. And it's as if he has pegged us as the American church in our lack of hearing the Word. And so turn to James chapter 1 and look at verses 19 and 21. As we read God's inerrant, infallible, and authoritative Word, I want you to look for James's call for us to not just hear the Word with eagerness, but also to receive it with meekness, with humility. And if you're able, stand with me as we read James 1, 19 through 21, and hear and receive. Listen to the Word of God. James says, "Know this. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls." This is the words of God. Pray with me. God, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the vast access that we have to it, be it through preaching, through reading it in our own languages, through our iPads, through our iPhones, through countless translations that we have today. Yet the challenge is to actually hear it. And God, we need your help this morning to hear it, to listen to what James is saying to us as his brothers and sisters this morning. So help us to do that in a way that brings you glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. James says, "Know this." Now hear this, church. James is exclaiming, "Listen to me." New life in Christ is a call for obedience to Christ. And a life of obedience to Christ will be a life that doesn't just hear or read the Word of God and move on from it, but one that actually listens and receives what it says. And so while we could look at these words and see some clear practical wisdom on being quick to hear and slow to speak, of which I am often guilty of the opposite, the main driving point here is for us to not just hear the Word with eagerness or expectation, but to respond to it by repenting from our sin, repenting from our wickedness, repenting from our filth, and receiving His Word with humility, or receiving His Word with meekness. It's as if he is moving us on from the next step from last week, teaching us that we have now been born again through the word of truth. And so now James is revealing these characteristics that are going to mark that new birth in Christ, the new birth we have in Jesus. And so it's kind of like James is saying something like, too much is given, much is required. You've been born again. Now, this is what it's going to look like. This is what new life in Christ will look like. You see, James moves from describing this Word of God as the agent of our new birth, as a baby in a womb, to now being the implanted seed in our hearts, in our lives. And just as we considered the future crown that we will have at the end of our life in verse 12, the crown of eternal life with Jesus, James now calls us to experience this full, this present, this active, this living salvation now, as this implanted word grows in and through and is rooted in and through our life and becomes evident in how we live. In other words, James has pretty much exhausted how we are to handle our storms. Now it's time for us to know how to handle our life, how to live our life in a way that brings him honor and glory. And we'll find that James is going to do this by considering God's law as really a law of liberty, as being free to live in such a way that brings him the most glory by telling us of the blessings that come from following his word. And through it all, James calls us beloved. Beloved. Why? Because we're born of the same Father. Therefore, we share this special relationship with James as his brothers and sisters. And so, brother and brother, almost as the elder brother giving us advice, James here is saying and calling us to repent from our sin and to receive, to listen to, embrace the Word of God. You see, church, hear me in this. In this world, with more access to the Word of God than ever, my greatest concern is not that there are not more people here this morning to hear the Word of God preached. My greatest concern this morning is that those of us that are here this morning to hear the Word of God preached and taught are actually listening to the Word of God, actually hearing the Word of God, actually embracing what God's Word is telling us this morning. And so the question then is, are we listening? As we study this text, this will drive us, are we listening? Are we actually hearing God speak? You see, James has moved from defending God's goodness and giving us salvation through this Word that we hold in our hand. But sometimes we look at that salvation as the period, as the end of our spiritual life. We've been saved now. Now I can coast on into eternity with Jesus. No, the regenerating word that James here is speaking of, and he's going to speak on through the next few weeks, now shifts us to live in a certain way according to God's Word. And how will we live according to the Word of God if we don't actually hear it and receive it? Embrace God's Word. See, you've been made by God through what we considered last week, where He has born again in us new life through the Word of truth. Therefore, we've been made ready and able to hear and receive the Word of God. The question then this morning is, are we willing to receive and hear and embrace the Word of God? Our passage today is ultimately teaching us how to hear the Word of God. And my prayer is for us to do that this morning. So as we study this text, we'll be urged by James to hear the Word eagerly in verses 19 and 20. He'll call us to repent from sin faithfully in verses 20 and into the first part of 21, and then for us to receive this Word meekly or humbly in verse 21, or the second half of that. So look back at verses 19 and 20, and let's hear James call us to be eager, to be expectant in hearing God's word. James says, know this. Know this, my beloved brother. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You see, the first thing we find in this text is this call from James to hear the word with eagerness, to be quick to hear the word, to be excited to hear the word, to hear his word preached or read with eagerness. And so he's shifting the focus from our new birth in Christ through the word to how this word is now used as being the agent of change in our lives, changing our lives from that old way of life that we once lived to now this new way in life that we have as his new adopted sons and daughters of God. You see, the word teaches us to how to live in such a way that brings God glory and honor. And so this verse is what is known as Hebrew parallelism, which will inform us of our triple duty to how we are to handle the word of God. Number one, we're to be quick to hear it. Number two, we're called to be slow to speak. And then number three, we're called to be slow to anger. The first call for us to be quick to hear is interesting in light of the context that this passage is found. You see, these early Jewish Christians didn't have the same access to the Word of God as we do. They weren't able to open up their iPads and bring up the ESV study Bible or the NIV study Bible. They did not have any sort of access to the Word of God as we do. They didn't have a Bible with four different translations in it, as Brother Cobbler has, a parallel Bible or anything of the sort. No, these people back then didn't even have the New Testament really in any shape, form, or fashion. They may have had some access to the Old Testament, but what they relied on was the oral communication of the gospel, the oral communication of God's word. And so when we consider that in context, does it make us wonder why it would be important to be quick to hear and slow to speak? They are relying on being able to hear this gospel preached. Think about it. As they sat in their house churches, being dispersed, struggling with all kinds of persecution, daydreaming wasn't an option. Listening was imperative. It was of utmost importance. If they weren't actually listening to the teaching of God's word, they were going to miss out on perhaps even life-saving details. They had to be quick to hear the word of God and therefore had to be slow to speak. And yet, while it seems that James is pointing this finger at the early church, he's really pointing another finger at us. Many of us don't truly hear the word of God. Sure, it goes into our ears or we read it with our eyes, but are we truly listening to God's word? Are we hearing what it says? Because it's been said that listening to the conversations of the world between nations and between couples, they are, for the most part, dialogues of the deaf. And what does that mean? That every single second, billions upon billions upon billions of words are said or produced, but only a fraction are actually heard or listened to. We've all had conversations with somebody else only to look into the vacant eyes of our hearers who are not listening to a word you're saying. If you're a parent or a spouse, you're sure to know this is true. Without getting your spouse in trouble, can I get an amen? But why? Why are we so conversationally deaf? I think one reason is because we're so busy. Our busyness makes conversations then a race for us to finish, lessening then the value of the relationship that we have with the person that we're speaking with. Further, media these days practically gives us ADD, as no graphic or scene lasts more than 5 or 10 or 15 seconds. We've lost the ability to actually concentrate on people speaking. It's a struggle. A professor once said, "I understand I am here to speak and you are here to listen. Let's hope we both finish at the same time." And I think every pastor would say that as well. I'm here to preach and you're here to listen. Let's try to finish at the same time. You see, this lack of concentration doesn't just affect our hearing or the preaching of the word or our conversations with others, but it bleeds into the way we read the Bible, our devotions, and just about every other area of our spiritual life. It's as if we say, "Speak to me, O Lord," but you have 60 seconds to do it. So how can we improve then? What's a practical way for us to improve in our ability to actually hear as our text commands? First, I think we must truly work at genuinely listening to others when we're talking. And this is probably the hardest part. And that requires then an earnest interest in what that person has to say. This really is a way for us to love our neighbor as ourselves. For when we are truly listening to him, which is what we would hope that they would do to us, we are generally taking an interest into his own concerns, his own problems, his own struggles, and seeking ways to come alongside him and serve him or her in his area of need. Second, and this is perhaps another struggle for some, I think we need to limit our time with visual, and social media. We talked about this a little bit in our elder meeting this morning. If we don't control our time will absolutely control us. And if visual and social media is placed in the driving seat of our life, we will struggle to listen. We will lose the ability to concentrate, to focus, to actually listening to those around us. This means we need to slow the pace down a little bit, tap the brakes a little bit, and actually say and mean, "Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening." Third, we can't just read God's word to finish a reading plan or to make it to the end of the chapter. And this is probably my greatest struggle and one reason I hesitate to ever really push Bible reading plans. Because oftentimes it becomes, "Okay, God, I've got to finish this chapter because I need to finish and check off this chapter so that I can move on to the next day." And oftentimes what is missed in those things is actually hearing. We're trying to finish that chapter, finish that box so we can check it off. We must read God's word by actually trying to listen to what it has to say, soaking it in, studying it, meditating on God's word, listening to it as we read, being interested in what it actually has to say for our life. Finally, and this one touches to us now as young parents and other parents in the room, we must prepare for worship in the hearing of God's word. As parents of young children, I can attest that the time before Sunday school and worship is probably the most stressful time of the week as we seek to make sure everybody gets here on time, everybody's matchy-matchy, and the bows are on straight. Right? It can be a stressful time, but one way to alleviate this is to set the alarm back a little bit further or perhaps prepare, lay out things the night before, but actually taking time to prepare for coming to worship, preparing yourself before you get here to hear God's word by praying, "God, I want you to speak to me this morning. I want you to speak to me through your word, through Jeff, through Larry, through Matt. I want to actually hear what your word says." And so my encouragement, especially to parents in here, and I'm speaking to Rebecca and I especially, slow down, listen, and prepare yourself and your family to hear and receive and embrace the word of God, to hear the word with eagerness. And oddly enough, that's only the first duty, to hear the word, to be quick to hear. We could spend a week on all of these. The second duty is then a call to slow to speak. And I'm just going to skip over that because that's not, I'm just kidding. We do need to be slow in our speech. You see, we're a bit more structured in our worship service, but the context that this was written is more akin to our Bible studies or our Sunday schools where verbal participation was the norm. It was expected. This oral communication might have been mostly one-sided where the teacher, or in this case perhaps James, was speaking or teaching the word, but there still offered the chance that the speaker would be interrupted a few times. But not always was something that was on topic or beneficial for what they were covering. Jeff's looking down, but can I get an amen, Jeff? Amen. Therefore, James calls us then to measure our words, to reflect on our words before we speak them, to pause just a moment before we blurt out and think before you speak. And if you're honest, you know why this is important. By a show of hands, how many have said something and promptly had to stuff your foot in your mouth? I'll go ahead and raise two for me and maybe even another foot. This happens all the time. But all of you that just raised your hand, if you had just another moment or two to think about what was about to come out of your mouth, would you have considered changing it a little bit? Or perhaps not even saying it at all? And the likelihood that you had to smell and taste your foot would be lessened. You see, God has creatively designed us with two ears and one mouth. And my mom said this all the time. And so why do you think it is? Tell me. So you can hear twice as much as you speak. And so this application really becomes the third duty of our text. When we're slow to speak, when we measure our words, the likelihood that we anger somebody or even become angry ourselves is minimized. When we speak without thinking, someone is bound to get angry, and then another, and then another, and then our church that is called to be a lighthouse suddenly becomes a firehouse where we're having to put out fires of everybody being upset or angry with one another because we weren't careful with how we speak. But most anger, according to Scripture, no matter how we want to rationalize it, is sin. Based on Ephesians 4:31, Colossians 3:8, Titus 1:7, instead, we should heed Solomon's advice from Proverbs 29:11 and 16:23, where he says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control, and better a patient man than a warrior." A man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. And so chaining all of this together for us, James is teaching us that an angry person can't be a listening, a hearing person. This stuff is shut off immediately in the midst of our rage. But our text says our primary duty here is to hear the word with eagerness. Therefore, we need to use our mouths less and ears more. When we live the opposite of this verse, being slow to hear, quick to speak, quick to become angry, we will never grow in the Word of God as the rest of this passage commands. And verses 20 and 21 tell us why, but also give us the only appropriate response. Look back at verse 20 again and into the first part of 21. It says, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness." See, the second thing that we find in our text is this call from James for repentance, for us to repent from sin faithfully, to put it aside, to put it away, to move on from it, to run away from it. And the word helps us change our lives from what we once were, rebels to God, to what He has called us to be, sons and daughters of God, seeking to glorify Him with all of our lives. And one way we do this is through faithful, genuine repentance. See, the true beauty of this is how it is the reasoning behind James's call for us to be quick in hearing the word, but slow to speak and to become angry. Why? Because anger does not produce the righteousness of God. It cannot. It's antithetical to God and the way we are called to live. And so what does anger produce? Anger produces ugliness, unrighteousness, and often an unrepentant life. And a clear example of an angry life is one of the ones leading the candidates to be president. You see, he seems to feed off of his own anger, the anger of those around us. But when we make a diet out of our anger, the result is always ugly and righteous and unrighteous. And Jesus warns us about this type of anger. Matthew 5:22, he says, "I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. For it is eternally true that man's anger doesn't bring about the righteous life God desires. Instead, Scripture is calling us to bring about a triple duty of listening to God's word with eagerness, being slow to speak, being slow to become angry. And if you do find yourself falling into the grip of anger, our text gives us the only appropriate response: repentance. I remember 10 years ago when Rebecca and I had only been married for a few months. We hadn't even had an argument yet. I don't think. Hope not. I tried not to. I did my best. But we hadn't been angry a whole lot, hadn't had our first argument, and something happened at a meeting I was in that just threw me into a fit of rage. And I came home and I slammed that door as hard as I possibly could. And immediately I felt better. I was relieved. I was over it. Everything was done. But then through the stillness, through the quiet of our house, I heard Rebecca sobbing. You see, I had no idea why. I hadn't yelled at her. She hadn't done anything. Nothing. I just slammed a door. But it turns out that the action of me slamming that door brought back horrible memories from her childhood. Even though I wasn't mad at her and I hadn't done anything to hurt her, my anger in slamming that door caused her to fear me. And that's something I will never forget or let happen again. And so what was my appropriate response in that situation? Was it to blame my anger on the meeting that I had? Was it to try and convince her that my behavior had nothing to do with her and just get over it? Or was it to immediately apologize and ask her for forgiveness? Thankfully, I chose the latter, apologized to Rebecca, and I vowed to try to not ever do that again. We hugged, we cried, we prayed, and it became one of the sweetest moments of our life that valued the call to repentance and how that restores relationships with others, with God. Therefore, James says, how do we respond when our anger brings unrighteousness? An example of slamming a door or cursing somebody out or whatever it might be. Repent. Turn from it. Put it away. And along with that, every manner of filthiness and wickedness. You see, we can't miss the point here, church. James is ultimately saying that an unwillingness to listen, a sinful tongue, an unrighteous anger is evil and sinful to God. When we are slow to hear and quick to speak and to become angry, moral filth and decay will always be the result in our life. Therefore, if we desire to live a righteous life, which I hope that we do, we have to put those things away, to put them behind us, repent from them, and turn from them wholly and completely. And so we must ask ourselves and be honest with ourselves then in light of our text, is the Bible relevant to me? Is the Bible relevant to us? Does it truly matter to me right here, right now? You see, we may believe that it's inerrant, it's infallible, it's our authority. I say it before every time we read Scripture. But is it actually relevant to you? Does it genuinely matter to you? Does it genuinely thrill your soul to read it, to hear it? Does it bring a sweetness to your heart that you cannot describe? Has it come alive to you? And if you don't know if you can answer yes to those questions, we must toss out these sins that James is saying and devote ourselves to hearing, to reading, to the preaching of God's word and actually listening to it. Because once we've done that, we're able to follow this last command in our text. Look at the second half of verse 21, where James says, receive. Receive it with meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The final thing we find in our text, this final call from James, is this word, receive. As James calls us to receive the word with meekness. In other words, we can't just hear the word. We can't just read the word. we have to respond to that word with repentance, just like we just considered, and also to receive it and to follow the implications of his word, as we'll consider next week, as we seek to not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, receiving it and following its commands. You see, we don't use the word meekness very often, but in a sense, James is calling us to humbly submit to the word of God that's been planted within our hearts, implanted in our hearts when we were saved. Hearts that would have never received the word had they not been changed and cultivated for this word to be planted within. As adopted sons and daughters of the Most High God, James is calling us to welcome the word of God with open arms, or rather open ears, to hear it, to welcome it, to invite it, to embrace it, to listen to it with meekness, with humility. So do you remember the story of Eutychus that I shared with the children earlier? While he fell asleep in church, he wasn't asleep to God's word. He was seeking an opportunity to listen to God's word. He had placed himself in a position to hear God's word, to respond to God's word, but he simply fell asleep. We're not much different, and some may be struggling to stay awake right now, but we're nevertheless here and have placed ourselves in position right here, right now, to hear the word of God. And so I ask, is it alive to you? Is it relevant to you? Does it matter to you? Are you welcoming his word with open arms? You can hear it here. You can hear it in our Bible studies. You can hear it on TV, although I don't recommend you do that. Or you can hear it on a podcast. But are we actually receiving God's word? Are we actually embracing God's word? Is it actually mattering to you? James is telling his early Christian brothers and sisters and us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, to turn from that anger and be ready and willing to not just hear, but receive the word of God that's been planted within our hearts. You see, most of us have been ready and made ready and able to hear that word. But now there is but one thing to do that our text exclaims, and that is to listen. Read it, hear it, and listen. Be still and listen. Worship and listen. Hear, read, and listen. Receive this word of God that's been planted within you and has saved your souls, and actually listen to it. Embrace his word. James uses the Greek word dekomai, which means we are to welcome it with a joyful reception, which is the same word Paul uses in 1 Thessalonians to the Christians. It had heard the word of God and welcomed it not as the word of men, but as the truth, the very word of God, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We are called to welcome the word of God, heard, read, preached, exclaimed with a gentle, teachable disposition, by not just acknowledging its authority, its inerrancy, its infallibility, but by submitting to it and following it humbly. So why does this matter? What's the so what for us this morning? Well, for those of us that have experienced salvation, as many of us have, God's word has been implanted within us. We need to only let it grow. Calvin suggests that James is saying we are to receive the word so it may be really implanted, rooted in our lives. In other words, we are to go on receiving this word of God in such a way that it becomes more firmly and deeply rooted and planted within our lives than ever before. In other words, day by day, every single day of our lives, we are to continue to open our hearts to God's word, welcoming it with open arms and ears. And as we do, allow its truth to be further transfused and soaked in and transmitted from our lives. Therefore, I have three parting thoughts on hearing the word of God as we close. All of us, everybody in this room, both hearers and proclaimers of the word, carry a unique and heavy responsibility in the success of the preaching of God's word. You carry the responsibility to prepare yourself to hear it, to put yourself in the position to hear it as you have done, and then, well, hear it, to receive the word of God preached. I carry the responsibility to preach it faithfully and to do so in no more than 24 minutes and 59 seconds. Can I get a amen, Carol? In all seriousness, you and me, we're in this together. We are a team to preparing ourselves for the preaching and the hearing and receiving of God's word. Number two, receiving the word of God requires us to prepare ourselves in advance. I shared a little bit about this a little earlier, but we must think about what the word of God is and how blessed we are to have it in our hands. In other words, we can't take this word of God for granted, whether through my preaching, as good or bad as it may be, or through the amazing access that we have it in our own language in countless forms, but we have to think about it this way. You are holding in your hands the very word of God. The same God who created the universe with his word is now speaking to you through his word that you are holding in your hand in various forms and formats. To me, that's pretty dadgum special. That the creator of the universe that spoke the stars, the suns, the moons, creation into existence with his word, now has given us his word that we can read and hear him speak to us every single day of our life. Third, when it's time to hear the word of God, we should all say and genuinely mean it, "Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening." In other words, church, are we listening? God is speaking. We have his word right here. He is talking to us this morning. Are we actually listening? And so as our musicians come to lead us in worship, I want you to turn to Psalm 119 and give you a little bit of homework as we're closing. As I read Psalm 119, your homework is to look for all of the things God's word does for us and then commit to live in such a way that shows the value of this word that you hold in your hands at this very moment. Listen to Psalm 119 and look for the way or how God's word works in our life. Psalm 119. It says, "It's blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame. Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart, when I learned your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me." What a powerful passages. God's word is inerrant, is infallible. It is our authority, but it is only relevant. It only matters to us when we don't just hear it, but when we receive it with open arms and ears. Let that thought guide our minds and hearts as we sing these songs of worship. If you want to join this church, want to know more about being baptized, or would like to know more about trusting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're welcome to visit with me during this time. But as we sing, continue to ask yourself, is God's word important to me? I hold in my very hands God's word. Does it matter? Am I listening? Am I welcoming it? Am I receiving it? And so as we sing, let that guide your thoughts. Let's pray together. Father, you are good. In the word that we hold in our hands, various translations, countless forms, some electronic, some paper, God, is your word that you have given to us, that is a privilege that we have to hold it in our hands, to read it, to hear it preached, to hear it taught. God, let us not take that for granted. Not because of me as a preacher, but because it is your word. You are speaking to us right here, right now. And so the challenge then is for us to hear it, to listen to it. And as we'll discover next week, respond to it and do what it commands. Help us to do that this morning in a way that brings you honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.